Welcome back to the Jeff Moore Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Wednesday morning. You can be in touch with the program, 251-343-0106. Text me is the best way to go about it. Still to come on the program, Jeff Sorrells in about 30 minutes, and Craig Monger from 1819 News in about an hour. So stay tuned for that. But joining us now, what was it Sean says, last on the roster, but first in our hearts, from District 105, State Representative Chip Brown. Well, Representative, it's been a while. How you been?
Doing great, Jeff. Yeah. Yeah, 105, baby, bottom of the state.
Well, you know, you head over the bridge there, right, when you get to Dolphin Island.
That's right. I'm Dog River South. So Sand Island, when you pass the Sand Island Lighthouse going out in the Gulf of Mexico, that makes me the most southern member of the legislature.
So how are things going, you know?
Going good. We, you know, that area, Mobile County in general, is just growing astronomically and, you know, have a... The seafood industry is struggling. We have to fight against our own federal government. They put money into the World Bank and the UN, and they go and they stand up these seafood operations all across the globe, and then we let them come and import seafood into the U.S. with no tariffs or low tariffs, and it's with the high cost of fuel and inflation, it's just a struggle.
Yeah, we spend a lot of time talking about the inputs for ag. I guess those inputs got to be pretty devastating for the seafood industry, too.
They do, and really until I passed a bill 2 years ago that allowed seafood to be considered agriculture. And so for the first time, they were able to take advantage of the same tax benefits that farmers get. But still, in the end of the day, that's a drop in the bucket, you know. And but it is a struggle. I have a bill this session that deals with labeling seafood. So when you go to a restaurant, they're required to tell you where that seafood came from, if it's a product of the United States or Vietnam or wherever. So hopefully that'll make somewhat of an input. You know, we'll have an input into helping the commercial seafood industry.
Well, how much is that going on? Because the casual consumer is going out to eat probably blissfully unaware, right?
Right. It is pretty rampant. I actually had a restaurant in Mobile, which you think fresh seafood, and they pride themselves on being a seafood restaurant. Their fresh catch of the day was sway, which is, of course, Vietnamese catfish. They raise it in ditches on the Mekong Delta in Vietnam. It's pretty disgusting, and I would tell your viewers to go on YouTube and look at how they raise sway, and they may not want to order it next time, but that was their fresh catch. And when I asked where was that from, she had no idea. The waitress didn't. So, you know, I understand their point is that they're trying to get the lowest price items they can and try to get them out there. So I'm a free market guy. I believe in free market economics across the board. Let the chips, you know, fall where they may. But we're really... The seafood industry has the thumb on them, and it's the federal government. The federal government is essentially putting them out of business. So this would allow restaurants, they could continue to sell shrimp from Vietnam, but they just have to tell you it's from Vietnam. And that way you can make an informed choice as a consumer and go in there and say, I want shrimp from the U.S. or I want snapper from the U.S. or what have you. And this would require them to label it that way, and that way you know.
Yeah, I mean, just surprised at how much of that is imported from overseas.
Oh, it's huge. And, you know, I had someone ask me about that. So, well, how can they you know, get catfish, put it in a ship or put it on a plane and bring it over here still cheaper than what they have here? And I said, well, it's because the government's, one, we're paying to start their business, and then their government in these countries, they subsidize them. So they can continue to take a loss with the ultimate goal of putting U.S. seafood out of business. And meanwhile, our guys are just on their own. They're out there fighting a battle every day.
Yeah. Well, best of luck on that. Well, let's talk about broadly what's going on in the state. Your reaction state to state last night.
Well, I thought it was good. I thought the governor hit some really salient points: school choice, rural health care, you know, I was interested to see her speak up on gaming. You know, it was a good speech. It was short, but I thought she hit some good points. You know, the human trafficking component I thought was pretty powerful. That bill by Representative Donna Givens, that's a great piece of legislation. That is a plague not only in our state but our nation, and it's tied directly into illegal immigration coming across the border and our inability to or will at the federal level to do anything about that.
We'll start with this one. Now, I've heard you talk a little bit about the gambling aspect with Sean. Where are you on the gaming, at least what we think we know about this proposal?
Well, I think the people of Alabama I trust the people of Alabama. And the people of Alabama tell me in my district, it's overwhelming that they want the opportunity to vote yes or to vote no. They want to, one way or the other. I know people that they fully are going to go down there and they're going to vote no all day long, but they want that ability to go down there and vote. They haven't had a vote since 1999 and Don Siegelman was governor. So I'm going that way, honestly, Jeff. I think that I trust the people of the state of Alabama. And end of the day, it's going to be up to the voters, yes or no.
Well, have you thought ahead? Well, I guess a couple of things. The enforcement mechanism seems to be like a big part of the messaging here. Aside from Representative Givens, she was on earlier talking about that, like Foley and then problems they have. Do you see that around your district as much?
Actually, it is across the state, and it really flies under the radar. I really had never noticed that before until Representative Andy Witt traveled around the state and looked at, you know, convenience stores and, you know, illegal gaming operations, everything. And then right after he did that and he gave a report back to us, I happened to be in a gas station in my district and walked in, and above the counter were probably 20 rows of lottery tickets. Well, of course, we don't have a lottery in Alabama, so what are they selling, you know? But they had the actual dispensers and everything for lottery tickets. And then a couple of weeks later, I was in Clark County and was traveling through Clark County, stopped at a gas station, and right when you came inside the door, they had, you know, the Coke cooler with you go in there and get your Coke. And right beside that, they had two slot machines, straight up slot machines. And right there by the door. I mean, anybody could come in, kids could come in. I mean, we already have gambling across the state. It's just illegal right now.
It's so flagrant though, right?
It is.
Right there out in the open.
Oh, just like that. I mean, it was absolutely amazing. I mean, any kid could walk in, sit there, drink a Coke, and play the slot machine. I mean, there was just...
Where were these when I was a kid?
Yeah. We had Space Invaders back then. Yeah. Well, my generation had Space Invaders. I can remember walking to the junior food store and playing Space Invaders and getting a Coke, you know?
Yeah. Now we can win some college tuition money, right, or something.
Yeah, I'm sure it pays out. Yeah, I don't think the odds are regulated there.
No, I don't think they are either. I don't think that's a good bet. Other things, you mentioned the human trafficking. I guess the other big thing was school choice. So how do you feel about that?
Well, you know, first and foremost, I think it goes down to, I had a bill last year dealing with masks that, you know, parents would have a right to opt their child out of a mask mandate. And I think this kind of goes hand in hand with that, because children are they're the responsibility of parents. They're not the responsibility of the state. It doesn't take a village. I'm not Hillary Clinton.
Yes.
I believe that those are your children. You have the say-so in them. And I think that school choice argument goes right along with that. Now, what form that's going to take, I don't know yet. You know, it's going to be based on financials, and it's going to be based on, there's so many different variables that you could develop to on the savings accounts. I'm optimistic that those bills will be favorable for something I could go with.
Are you kind of surprised? I mean, I knew gambling was going to get a hearing. School choice probably, I mean, aside from Representative Yarborough and Senator Stutz. But are you surprised it made kind of like a showing like it has this year?
Well, yes and no. I mean, if you look, and you've done this a long time, a lot of times you can follow the progression of ideas and legislation, and you'll see something get introduced and then reintroduced and gets a little bit more support and a little bit more support. And then, you could see it building over the last several years, and the overwhelming support from the Republican Party, I think, plays a part in this as well. And the national trend with what's gone on in schools and parents, you see, school boards in Virginia and, these other states that they've been radical and pushing agendas.
The woke agenda.
So I think that all kind of comes to a mindset and comes to a like what I said, that they're your children. They're not the state's children. And so I think that's been building for quite a while.
It's just, I guess not necessarily everyone would participate in a school choice program, but they like the idea of having at least one additional layer to protect against just whatever is going on in the culture wars in America.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. It is shocking. I mean, the drag queen story hours and the library issues, and it's just truly an agenda and an effort to radicalize and groom kids. It really is. I mean, there's no other way, because if you look and you go back years ago, I mean, school was about reading, writing, and arithmetic, and then at some point it became about teaching social issues and morals and that.
Yeah, it's just funny how like it feels like to me. I rant about this on the show all the time, but like as citizens, as consumers of government or whatever you want to call us, we never had the opportunity to have this discussion about what we wanted. It just, maybe California and Vermont or wherever, these blue states, they decided collectively that we would do this. We would have, this kind of content in our libraries in the children's section. In Alabama, we never got a chance to talk about that. It just sort of showed up, didn't it?
Well, that's right. And I blame a lot of that on the federal Department of Education, because if you look at that, used to be, prior to the Department of Education, states made their own decisions for their students. They, because there's nothing that could be more different than a school in Alabama versus a school in Portland, Oregon. But yet the federal government wants to lump everyone together and hold us hostage by dangling funds out there and saying, if you don't support transgender sports for kids, then you're not going to get this funding for school breakfast and lunches.
But isn't it some of this too? And I'm not saying that. I think that is a big part of it. But you have a lot of government, civil servant, and the bureaucracy, I think, is embracing this kind of cultural direction despite what the public wants. It's becoming not government for the people, by the people. It's not becoming consent to the governed. It is, we know better than you. We'll take it from here.
It's that arrogance of a ruling class,
yes,
looking down on the populace.
We had the library science degree from the University of Montevallo. We'll handle it from here. Don't you worry about this.
Well, it's the old debate that even within the Republican Party, that I'm old enough to remember when you have the Walmart Republicans, which I'm more of the Walmart Republican crowd versus the Country Club Republican crowd, and that was a battle. That was a war versus the mainstream versus the populace. And it's still ongoing. But I think you see that in particular in education, where you see these people that have five or six doctorates and they arrogantly know better than you do, and know want to tell you how you're to raise your children. And if you don't want to do it that way, they're going to raise your children for you. But it is I'm glad to see, the debate about books in the library. I'm glad to see discussions of school choice. I'm glad to see all that because we're as a culture, as a state, we're taking a stand and we're waking up and saying enough is enough. We're not going to take this anymore. And if you often look at it, it is outside forces that are pushing these agendas in our state. And I'm proud to see us as a state finally waking up.
Yeah, I think that's the rub for a lot of people, though. These are like our tax dollars, and whatever you want to think about school choice and that whole discussion, the reason it becomes like such a thing is because of, well, there's just a aside from the bad results and all that, but people see what's going on, in these schools, and the cultural shift is antithetical to what you're teaching at home.
That's right. That's right. If you think about it too, if you start with the children and you raise the children to embrace, cultural Marxism, socialism, and to do away with the history of Western civilization, which it is, it's an effort to eradicate the history of Western civilization and to remake America in an image that is foreign to us and is hostile towards our values. And so if you look at that from that perspective, if you just sit back and you really analyze what they're pushing and what their agenda is, then it's scary. It's scary for our country. It's scary for our future because these children that are being taught, values that aren't line up with what are in the homes in Alabama, the traditional morals and values that we share in Alabama, they're trying to remake not only our state, but the whole United States and into something that is not. And we're seeing that every day. It's a struggle. It's a struggle against a small minority that is trying to oversee the agenda for the majority. And that's the way all cultural revolutions start, if you think about it, is that you have people, they get into the civil service, they get into the education side of things, and then they start pushing a message, and then the next generation takes it up, and you have more, and then you have more, and you have more, right. And then eventually it's the majority.
Yeah, they have brainwashed or indoctrinated or whatever you want to call it. Representative, we're out of time, but a nice little tangent we went off.
Yeah, always.
But let's get you on again real soon. Thanks for coming by.
Sounds great. Thanks, Jeff.
Stay with the Chip Brown, ladies and gentlemen. We got to get a timeout here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
Gone with the wind.